God, we thank you so much for your greatness this morning. For some of us here this morning, we don't think you're great. We don't even know if you exist. God, I ask that your greatness, your goodness would be made known to all of us this morning. May we know just how great you are. May we know just how great your love is. May we know just how great your forgiveness is. May we know just how great your grace is. God, you are great. You're incredible. May we fall more in love with you this morning than we were yesterday. We give this time to be with you, to learn more about you. And God, we ask that you would transform us from the inside out and who you've created us to be. In your name, we all said? Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. How are we doing? Good, good, good. Dodgers are so awesome. Oh, it is just like every day I wake up and go, man, God, you are real. This is so cool. We just have to win the World Series. I don't care. Postseason's a whole other ballgame, literally. I just got back from vacation. That was pretty cool. I went on a little road trip. We went out to Zion. Here's how we do vacation. We go north. Sometimes we'll go south. And other times we'll go east. We can't really go west too far. So we kind of go those directions. And this time we decided, we've been going north a lot lately. So this time we decided we're going to go east. And so we ended up in Zion, which was super cool. Never been there before. It's like giant sandcastles. And then we went from Zion all the way into the Rocky Mountains. And we, in Colorado, and we backed up to this river and in our van. And it was like the coolest thing ever. We opened up the back part of our van. We're sitting in the van right next to this river. And it was like the most peaceful, most surreal experience as my kids were just kind of having fun and we're just sitting right there. And I'm like, this is so cool. But I realized something about myself when it comes to vacation and driving with my kids for long periods of time. I have control problems. How many of us would just say that, yeah, you know what? There's some area in my life that I have an issue with control, right? We got that. Come on now. We all got an area in our life where we're like, man, I want to do this so bad right now, right? It could be like at your house. No, don't touch that. That goes there. Don't touch that. This goes right here. It could be at work and you've been trying that whole delegating thing and they're just not doing it the way you want them to do it. So you're like, fine, just leave it. Stop it. I'm going to take over. Let me do it, right? It happens. My wife, when we get done with grocery shopping, I'll come and take the bags of groceries and I'll start, put the ketchup here. No, the ketchup doesn't go there. It goes right here. I'm like, oh, whoa, let me do it. I'm like, fine. And for me with the dishes, it's like, no, the cups don't go right here. They go over here. The bowls go right here. It's like, hey, what is happening? We have these things within us where we're just like, I want to control that all the time. For myself, with driving, it's bad. It's really bad sometimes. I'll be in the passenger seat. And I will literally, if someone does something that I don't like while driving, I literally reach across and grab the steering wheel to help them drive. I've done that twice in my life. That's really bad. Most of the time, I just do the fake brake thing where I'm like, stop, slow down. It's like, what is that? Now, here's the reality. The reality is this, is that although we can kind of poke fun at our control things, the reality is that when we try to control something that cannot be controlled in our own effort, it causes problems. When we try to control something that cannot be controlled from our own, it causes issues. Things arise. Stuff happens. That's not good, both internally and externally. And I believe that when we try to control something that we can't control, when that exists, it's because we're trying to be God. We're trying to control something that we cannot control. And so what I want to look at this morning is I want to begin to dive into our control issues. And I want to give a verbiage to it. And I want to give us things in which we can begin to discover how to release that tension of wanting to do this just kind of human reaction of, ha, no, mine. Right? So Proverbs chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Proverbs chapter 3. Also be aware that I'm going to jump to Genesis 16. So just be aware of that. Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 is a passage that many of us know, and we know it for a good reason. We know it because it is a beautiful reminder. A beautiful reminder. Listen carefully, because when you hear these words, you hear them over and over and over again. Sometimes it's good to read them in a different translation because it kind of gives you a more fresh perspective of what's happening, because you constantly hear it in the same translation. But listen to what Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in him with everything that you are, with the core essence of you, your heart. Trust God with everything you have. Do not depend on your own understanding. Do not lean your way in on what you think is right and wrong. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Ah, I love it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. With what? Everything that you got. Trust in him, trust in him, trust in him. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own understanding. That part for me, I got a problem with. Because I have a problem with wanting to know everything. And hearing that makes me feel a bit uneasy, because that means I have to let go of this sense of control of wanting to be right. Don't depend on your understanding. Does that mean that understanding things is bad? Absolutely not. Understanding, we should. We continue to search after. But God's ways are not our ways. And we see things dimly, don't we? Right? So don't put your full weight on your own understanding. Don't weigh in on that. Instead, trust in the one who does know always. Trust in the truth. Who is the truth? Not your truth, not my truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in him with all that you have. And then seek his will in all you do. What is his will? You can boil that down in essence: loving him with all that you've got and loving the people around you. Do that. And God will say, essentially, he will show you which path to take, saying, Sean, we're going to go here today. Let's do it. I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't need to fully understand that. It's not my ground. But what I am going to do is I am going to trust you, God, because I know that you, God, are a good God. And I'm going to lean on to you. I'm going to rest in you with all that I am. Isn't that beautiful? So when it comes to our control things, the more that we try to control, the more that we become afraid of losing control. And the more that we become afraid of losing control, the more that we try to control. And it becomes this vicious cycle where fear begins to grip us, and we are led out of this fear of constantly losing control. We essentially are saying, God, I'm edging you out because I want to control this, because God, I don't trust you with this area of my life. Abraham and Sarah are prime examples of this. In Genesis 16, we see their control issues. In fact, in this time of their life, their names were Abram and Sarai. Later, they become Abraham and Sarah. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other gamut. We're not going to go there. So but just know that that's the same people. Abraham, Sarah, Abram, Sarai. Now, God speaks to Abram and says, you're going to be the father of many nations, which is a huge blessing. Because when it comes to the ancient Near East culture, their focus is on legacy, right? So when they have a son, they celebrate because their legacy will continue. So when someone says, that someone being God, says that you're going to be the father of many nations, he's stoked. He's like, yeah, no way. Are you serious? Yes, that is, wow, what a gift. What a blessing. Now, the only issue is, in order to be the father of many nations, you have to have what? kids. Sarai is barren. She can't have kids. But they're holding on to God's promise. God says it, so he's going to make it happen, right? That's going to work out. Abram's not that bummed out. He's like, we're just going to keep practicing. No big deal. Let's just keep going for it, right? But the problem is, when it comes to the promise, is that weeks turned into months, months turned into years, to where it came to a point in their life where the promise did seem promising, but now seemed impossible. And so the result of that was that Sarai did what many of us do. She decided to take control that which was she was not supposed to control. She decided to take matters into her own hands. Genesis 16, starting in verse 1, is her conscious decision of no longer trusting in the Lord with all of her heart, but rather beginning to try to trust in her own understanding as she tries to control the situation. This is her advice, and watch what her husband does. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Here we go, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. That's called the God card, guys. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. Stop for a second. That's her idea of fixing what seems to be the problem. That's Sarai taking matters into her own hands. That's Sarai trying to control that which can't be controlled. Abram, go sleep with our servant, Hagar. And what do you think Abram does, being the God-fearing man he is? Well, looks like they're both at fault. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. I try to replay that back in my mind as I'm reading the story. I'm like, well, I wonder what that conversation was like. Wait, you what? What? Are you serious? I mean, it's like, dude, what? Oh my goodness. Now let's just take a step back. Could there be much good that comes out of that advice? No, not today if we were to say that for our spouse, and not back then. Not good, right? Bad deal when we try to control that which can't be controlled from our own end. Now the beauty of that is, if you read the rest of Genesis 16, is you see a loving God step into both Hagar's life and Sarai and Abram's life. It's unbelievable. In fact, one of the most beautiful passages that my friend just highlighted to me was that when Hagar, who ends up having a kid, right, she gets ostracized, she gets pushed aside, and she just gets the raw end of the deal. Servant girl, no husband, right? Just bad news. And yet she has this encounter with God, and you want to know what she says? She says, you are the God who sees me. Oh man, that is beautiful. Here's a woman who's been pushed aside, isolated, has no hope, and yet she comes to the realization that you are the God who sees me. So, in midst of our poor decisions, in midst of us trying to control that which can't be controlled, God is still in control, and he still loves you and is with you. But there's going to be times where we are tempted to take control of something that's not meant for us to take control of. And as a result, things aren't going to look too pretty. And I don't know what you're going to be, I don't know what that is. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a thing. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what you're going to be tempted with to try to control that which can't be controlled. Maybe it's at your work, or maybe it's parenting. Parenting's a big one. We try to control things that which we can't control, right? We can't control our kids every single step. Some parents who do, they're called helicopter parents, and they just hover constantly. You're like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you? I remember my wife and I were sitting at this pool, and that's a huge place for parents who want to control every single step. They freak out, right? Because they're going to think of your kid drowning. It's the worst thing ever. I get that. It's like, oh yeah, you want to make sure. But we're at a little kiddie pool, right? And we're watching our girl. She's across the way. And whoever constructed this pool was not very smart, because they had like a tile entry into the kiddie pool. Dude, water and tile, come on, man. That's like the most slippery thing on the entire planet, but it's also really funny. So we were sitting there, and my daughter's like, da-da-da-da, you know, like, whoom, slips. And I would say a helicopter parent was standing right next to her with her daughter going like, one step at a time, right? And I'm like, dude, just let her go. And my daughter slips, falls on her butt, and slides kind of into the pool. And she's like, ha ha, laughing, you know, and splashing. But I swear to you, the other one, the mom who was hovering, she was like, ugh. I'm like, whoa, lady, breathe. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. For one, I'm right here. I'm her dad. It's okay. I got her. It's going to be all right, right? But there are moments where it's like, I want to control that. You can't control their every single step. You can't. It's just not possible. Here's the deal. Here's what I want you to do. If you have a pamphlet, those, I don't know what you call those brochure things, whatever. Jesse, what are they called again? Bulletins? Bulletins. That's it. The bulletin. Inside of that, there's sermon notes. I don't know if you know that. There's blank pages. There's pens right in front of you. I want you to grab a pen. I want you to grab that. If you don't have that, there's also, your neighbor might have a pen. Just take that from them. You can share. There's also, if you don't have the little bulletin, there's a little white piece of paper in front of the chair. That little white piece of paper is what you can tithe with. you can use that to write on that, all right? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the area in your life that you have a hard time letting go of. What does it come to control for you? What in your life are you trying to control? Is it your kids? Is it your grown kids? Is it your finances? Is it your job? Is it your future? Is it your spouse? Don't write that one down. Come on now. We don't need to do premarital. We don't need marital counseling right now. Is it your image? What is it? What are you trying to control? What are you trying to hold on to? Think about it. Write it down. Put a name to it. Have you ever done a trust fall? Trust fall is where someone's standing behind you and they say, trust me, I'll catch you. And so you blindly lean back, right? It's kind of scary. It's a little bit unnerving because you're like, wait, do I really trust this guy or this girl, right? Now, the act of letting go and leaning back into someone is called surrender. When it comes to trusting God with the areas that we lack control, surrender is paramount. It's really important that we, when we're trusting with the Lord with all of our heart, we're letting go of those areas of control. We're surrendering it. Some of you may say, okay, Sean, that's easier said than done. Yes, but what I want to do is I want to give us some questions that'll help us navigate those areas of control to really highlight what they are so that we can begin to have a better understanding of what it may be to be able to surrender and let it go. Okay, so when it comes to our areas of control, we want to cling to something. The first question is this: is this area of control worth my concern? Or am I majoring on something that's minor? Is it worth my concern? Is it really worth getting upset and ruining everyone's day just because they didn't fold the towels right? Is it really that big of a deal? 5 years from now, are you going to reflect back and be like, yeah, they didn't fold the towels right? No. Is it that big of a deal? If it's not that big of a deal, man, then why are you trying to hold on to it? Just let it go. Is it that big of a deal that someone left some trash inside of your car? Oh my gosh, I just cleaned my car. Now there's Cheerios. Are you kidding me? It's like, let it fly. Let it go. Let it go. Driving. The reason why driving in me is just like it's God's like ginormous mirror of my faults. I love it, but I also hate it at the same time. But like someone's like, so did your wife drive at all? I'm like, no, I drove the whole time on the road trip. Why? Because I'm in control and I don't like when she drives. Because when I sit in the passenger seat, my wife's driving, I don't like her braking ratio. She brakes way too late. I don't like how she changes the lane. She doesn't use the blinker at times. I'm like, you got to use the blinker, right? And all this stuff, like all these things. I'm like, I just can't do it. I can't handle it. And plus, I ruin everyone's day inside of the car when I'm in the passenger seat. And then I realize, Sean, what are you doing? Is it that big of a deal? No, it's not. On top of that, really, if I were to think about it, I'm the one who's been in multiple car accidents. I'm the one with multiple speeding tickets. My wife's got a perfect track record. If anything, she should be driving, right? And that's where I get really put in my place. I'm like, dude, okay, yeah, I got control issues here. I need to let this go. Is it that big of a deal? If it's not, let it fly. Let it fly. Another question, control. Is it mine to control? Is it mine to control? Because let's be honest, sometimes the answer is, yeah, it is, right? How many of us know that God won't do everything for us, that God wants us to do some things? There's a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. There's a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. Surrendering control does not mean we relinquish responsibility. For example, if we messed up financially, we do not just sit around and say, okay, God, I messed up. Now, could you rain down dollar bills from heaven like manna? No, you know what God's going to say is, I've given you two hands, 2 feet, get up and go get a job. Go do something and he will be with us in it. Go make something happen. Is that within your control? Absolutely. Go work. Go find something. Go do something. Don't spend as much money, right? Is your marriage in trouble? What can you do? Can you do something with that? Yeah, you can adjust your heart. You can examine yourself. You can even suggest, hey, let's get marriage counseling, which I strongly suggest that for every married couple. And some married couples would tell me, well, we don't have problems. Problem number one right there. You are not aware of anything. What are you talking about? We all need it, and it's really good, right? That's within our control. Yeah, we can do something about that. If your child is making bad decisions, you could do something about that. You can be available. You can love them and create a bridge of communication so that they feel like they can talk to you, right? There are some things that we can do. If you're a single guy and you want to get married, what do you do? Well, for one, ditch the fidget spinner, stop playing video games, get a job, move out of your house, put some deodorant on, maybe some cologne, and see what happens. Who knows, right? No, I'm kidding about that, right? I know it's a struggle right now, and I know it's hard to get find someone, but I'm just, yeah, whatever. But all that to say is that it's within your control. You can do something about it, right? Is this something that you're meant to control? If it is, go do it. Go do something. But if it's not, and here's the huge kicker, if it's not, then we have to ask ourselves, is it for God alone? Is this one of the areas that I'm trying to control, that which I cannot control? Because if it is one of the areas that I'm trying to control, that which I cannot control, then I need to let go and trust God and surrender. And that act of surrendering starts with prayer. Paul says this in Philippians 4:6. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Every single thing. Everything. What are you trying to control that you're not supposed to control? Pray about that. Talk to him. Tell him what you need. Tell him, God, I don't want to control this anymore. That's what I need. I need to let go. Help me. Help me. And he will. And in that process, thank him for all that he has done. Look at your life and realize, oh my goodness, I'm breathing. That's awesome. That's good, right? You can start there and you can begin to thank God for the things that he is doing, because when we are in that state of fear of trying to control that which can't be controlled, the only thing we're thinking is negative thoughts. Take a step back and thank God for what he has done, and you'll recognize some things in that process. And here's the beautiful exchange that God decides to do as we begin to reach out to him and trust him and pray. Verse 7 says this. It says, Then you will experience. You won't just understand. You're going to encounter. You're going to feel this. You're going to sense this. This is going to change your disposition and where you're standing on the ground that you're standing on right now. Then you will experience God's peace, his shalom, his wholeness, which exceeds anything we can understand. In other words, it's unbelievable. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How many of us would long for that as we are trying to control that which can't be controlled because we're afraid or whatever it may be, and we let go of that, and the response is God gives you what you need, and that is peace that goes beyond our understanding. A supernatural peace to the point where people are going to be like, oh my goodness, you should be freaking out. How come you're not freaking out? Honestly, I don't know, but I'm no longer controlling that which I'm trying to control, and God's just giving me peace in it. And it's beautiful. Question, again, what are you trying to control? Is this for God alone? If you're married and your spouse is making bad decisions, ask yourself, can I change my spouse? Some of us think we can. We can't. We can make our spouse miserable. We can make our spouse crazy. We can love our spouse. We can support our spouse. We can even encourage them and empower them, but we cannot control them. We cannot change them. But can God change our spouse? 100%. Absolutely. So what does this mean? It means that my spouse, your spouse, is for God alone. And saying, God, I trust you with my spouse because I cannot control another person to change them, but God, I know you can. I am going to release that idea of control to you. Children, parents, can you control your child's future? No, and it freaks you out. And you're longing to do this. No, 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 no. What can you do? Well, you can threaten them, right? You can give them ultimatums. You can drive them away. You can love them. You can support them. You can give them wisdom. You can walk alongside of them and empower them. But you cannot control their future. Can God be actively involved in their future, leading them in the right and wise ways? I believe so. Yeah, he can. And so what do? We as parents do all that we can do. We invest in our children. We encourage them. We show them by the way that we live our lives, and then hand them over to the one who's in charge. Because guess what? My daughter, that's his father, her father. Her father is the one in heaven. Yes, I'm biologically her dad, but at the end of the day, her father in heaven loves her more than I love her. It's hard for me to grasp that, but I know it to be true. Because our God is love. That is who he is, right? And so when I recognize that, okay, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna let go of that. And recognize, God, you love my daughter more than I do. Release it. Release it. Again, what do you feel that tug to control? Is it worth your concern? If it's not, let it fly. Can you control it? If you can control, if you're meant to do something, then go do it. Make it happen. But if it's for God alone, trust, pray, and surrender. Give it back to him. And watch as you do, as you begin to pray, as you begin to seek him out, watch as he begins to give you a peace that goes beyond your understanding so that as you leave here this morning and you surrender to him, you're no longer feeling that fear, that tug of trying to control. You're no longer having dreams of falling at night. You're no longer having those dreams of being up at a really high place and slipping and almost, and then waking up in a panic because you're no longer trying to control that which can't be controlled because you're giving it to the one who is in control. And his response is peace. My prayer is that every single one of us would encounter his peace this morning. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are active and present in our life. You are not distant and inactive, that you are here right now. And some of us, we have been controlling something in our life that we can't control, but we've been trying to, and the result of it hasn't been doing much good. We recognize here this morning that we need to surrender it, but it's hard. It's really hard. And so, God, I ask that you would give us a fresh perspective, that you are in control, that you love us, that you're with us, that you're for us, that you're not against us, that just like Abram and Sarai and just like Hagar, that in the midst of this horrible situations that they encountered, poor decisions that were made because of this area of control and people were affected by it, that you were still there, loving them, letting them know that you are the God who sees them. God, you see us. You know us. You know what we need. And so we trust you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. In this next moment, we're going to go back into worship. And we're going to worship God in a few different ways. The ushers are going to come forward. They're going to pass along the offering. That's a time to worship God by giving back a portion of what he has given you. Another area of worship is through remembering. We're going to take communion this morning. So the elements are going to be passed along. Please feel free to take the elements at your own leisure. And then we're also going to worship God through singing. So let's take this time as family, as a church family, to worship God together in those three ways. God bless you guys.